The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
I'll be better when my stupid Bruins don't blow a three games to one lead. How are you?
You are so crowded. I'm going to L.A. tomorrow. How do you think I'm doing?
I was just blasting I Love L.A., the classic by Randy Newman.
You're getting me in the mood.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Should we have all California-based music when... You're not going to be on the show tomorrow because you're traveling.
Day off. Travel day.
But Thursday, when you come back, should we have all California Love by Tupac, California Girls by the Beach Boys?
The Beach Boys.
Yeah, play a lot
of
Beach
thinking.
Boys.
Yeah, I was thinking about Beach Boys.
Van Halen, Red Hot Chili Peppers, all those
we
Cali
could play
bands.
California something by Katy Perry.
By the way, all our great listeners who work at Delta, if you want to give me a free upgrade to first class. Real
by the way, what time are you leaving?
5:30.
And what time are you going to get to L.A.?
10:30 in the morning.
So that means you're going to be there at 1:30 Eastern. So you should be doing the show tomorrow.
Well, wait a minute. Let's slow down.
No, but it is the airline industry, which means he's going to have a six-hour layover.
I do have to get my luggage and, I do have to
go ahead. You should do the show from the airport.
I do have to go
Arnie, live in Terminal C.
And do have to, get all, fight through traffic, which is going to be a nightmare there. But otherwise, it's going to be fun. Have you ever flown first class?
Of course not.
Don't look at me. I've never flown first class.
I did for the first time, actually, in December.
Wow. Where?
Jess and I went to Jacksonville for Seahawks Jaguars, and we ended up with an upgrade, and we had first class on one of those trips.
How what was it? So tell me what goes on in there.
Did they put steak in front of you, or what happened?
No, it wasn't. Number one, for me, the big thing is the leg room, because I'm so tall.
Yeah.
I like flying, but I hate sitting on planes because of my legs are just like a pretzel.
Right.
So I had massive leg room, blanket and pillow for a very, very short flight, as opposed to usually get those on overnight flights. There was no food on this flight.
What?
This was not like I can't remember which leg of the trip this was. It was not far, but trust me, it was well worth it. Given just the leg room alone made it worth it.
I just remember, I remember first class you would get like a meal and they would have silver, utensils.
Yeah.
Now you have plastic.
Now you get a bag of peanuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was still worth it. The leg room alone made it worth it to me.
You know, I just read that there's semi-private flights. Not not the ones for those super rich where they booked their own things. Just whatever the hell that means. Like what, 30 people on board? How great would that be if it's just like 30 of us?
Well, it'd be like every sports team, basically, isn't it? Chartered flights.
Yes, chartered flights.
Yeah, exactly. But there's media and all that too. But yeah, you're right. That'd be awesome. Oh,
well, I miss you already.
Should I go when I'm out there? Dodger game, Angel game.
You've lived there.
Hollywood Bowl. I told you James Taylor was playing. You said don't even bother.
Well, if immediately James Taylor says to me $150 a seat.
Nah, my dad's friends with him, so he can get
Look at that.
Is that right?
Yes.
Look at that.
Okay, well, that's different.
Because James Taylor is from Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Yes, he is.
And my dad worked in Pittsfield for a while at the newspaper
name dropper. I love it.
So he became friends with James Taylor. He'd been to his house, hung out.
Oh, wow.
Worked with his wife.
I love the way Berkshires are always working in the way into his songs. Like, I remember those.
Paul Simon's going to be out there?
Another $150. There are certain bands.
Well, I'm sorry, Millennium's not going to be out there or whatever.
ticket.
I don't understand why it's got to be that.
They already did their first tour of North America in 15 years. They played 10 shows and 11 nights and went back to England.
I should do my show from Venice Beach, just sitting on the boardwalk on a bench like a homeless person.
You know what? You should.
I really should. How great would that be?
I mean, we wouldn't even have to do anything, Brady. Just leave everything turned up and let him talk to all the crazies.
Would that be unbelievable?
You think Church Street is full of crazy people? People, you want to see Venice Beach.
It's not even close.
Wow.
It's not even close. Anyway, so I'm going to L.A., looking forward to that. So taking a travel day tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, shut up. Come on. You know you're going to miss me. You're going to be bummed out.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So I'm flipping back and forth yesterday between the Bruins and Jess is watching reality television. We're flipping back and forth. She's watching the Vanderpump Rules on Bravo. It's not so much about the show. It just kind of leads into
my discussion. Is that from that actor guy?
No, it's okay. About this group of people who work at a high-class bar restaurant to just...
thought there was an actor called Vanderpump, but I could be wrong.
There's at least a Vanderpump. She's on the Real Housewives of something. But nonetheless, that's kind of where it leads into what I really want to get to. And she's watching, and she goes, oh, I can't believe Britney's still with this guy. He's so bad for her and all that stuff. And I said to her, do you think he's really that bad to her, or are the producers egging it on and it's all for... right. Production value. And that's the same thing about Jersey Shore. We were talking about Jersey Shore last week.
Every reality show. That's all it is.
Is it how much do we think the reality shows are scripted? Like, how much do we think these people are really like this?
You're telling me those people out in Alaska with all those shows set out there are really not playing to the camera? And all the shows where they've got a bunch of millennials in their own apartments all screaming and fighting?
Why
and
do they have to
have
it scripted? Is there? You're at the beach for the summer. With like 10 people there, 12 people there, 6 guys, 6 girls. Are you going to tell me you can't have a good enough time without scripting that you're going to have a good enough time?
It's not that.
Jeez.
Do people want to watch them have a good time?
They want conflict.
Yeah, or do people want to watch them fight? So, again, same thing I say about Jersey Shore. I've been rewatching Jersey Shore, so there's all these fights and all this drama and relationship stuff, and they're fighting with each other, and the girls are punching the guys. I'm wondering how much of that is real and how much of that is not them playing for the camera. I believe that, too. But how much is it where the producer says, okay, we need a fight today. Who wants
it? It's like 80-90%. It's like 80-90%
BS. It's all scripted. Just like, what was that show? Who's that guy? One of the originals. Had this big scandal because the whole show was scripted. The talk show guy, the original crazy.
Oh, Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
Yeah, I love that show.
It's like Highway Through Hell. You ever watch that show?
No.
The entire show is the same thing every episode. Basically, a gigantic truck goes off in a snowstorm on its side and blocks traffic. So a bunch of tow truck operators have to come up. How do you make that interesting?
All the time?
Well, you turn on the camera and tell them what to say.
Yeah. So I just was wondering how much of that is. And Mary from Star 92.9, she's all in on all these reality shows, too.
Yes, of course.
Shocking.
And so she knows that Jess watches them. So she'll come into me and go, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? And 88% of the time, the answer is no. But like yesterday, I did happen to see some of it. She's like, I can't believe Britney's still with him. And I said, is he really that bad? Or are they telling him to do all this, say this mean stuff to her and all that? I believe that he's probably not that great a guy, but how much of it is being dictated?
It's the American way. Conflict equals ratings.
Glenn and Moncton, you realize that not one of those guys, realize only one of those people are actually from Jersey.
Yes, but I don't care. That's not what the question was. Yes. The question was how much of it is scripted.
I'm glad you know that. One thing you didn't see, though, on that is a Bruins win, for crying out loud. Brady,
really?
What do we got coming up on the show?
Thanks a lot.
Coming up today on the show, we'll remember first this week. Tonight is Tuesday. Trivia night is tonight. Burger Bar in Colchester, 7:30 to 9:30.
And the game, we'll have the game on. We'll have the Red Sox game, and we're going to have the Celtic game on.
Yep, we'll be watching all the big games on all the TVs. Half-price appetizers, drink specials, $2.50 Coors Lights, Miller Lights, $3 Blue Moons. That'll be fun. Tomorrow, we are Arnie-less, but Rich and I are out at the UPS store at 4 Carmichael Street in Essex, your one-stop shop for all things for local businesses, locally owned and operated, and they'll also be doing their free shredding if you bring in 5 pounds or less. Mistake of the day, of course, you want to win that 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. You catch us on a mistake, you text it in, and you get yourself in the qualifying to get that cap thanks to Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms in Colchester. As for what's coming up today, we'll get you ready for Celtics-Bucks Game 5. Tom Carrot of Nesson will stop by. 4:35. Patriot fans, when are you ever going to wise up and just admit it? And then first, though, we're headed for Game 7. They say they're the best words in sports, but I don't think under these circumstances for the Bruins.
Yeah, it is nervous time.
It is.
I didn't think we'd be sitting in a Game 7 after the Bruins took a 3-1 lead. I thought maybe, okay, if they don't win it in 5, they'll maybe scratch one out on the road.
Right.
And then this thing at 6. Give Toronto a hell of a lot of credit. Anderson's been phenomenal between the pipes for them. So I give him a lot of credit there. But this was a game that the Bruins could have easily have stolen.
Again.
When they were down 2-1, it was like, it seemed like they were playing forever to get that tying goal. And it was just like missed here, just missed there, this opportunity. The overpassing a couple of times killed a couple of golden opportunities. It was just so frustrating to watch that
game. And they never got the momentum. They scored the goal to make it 1-0. Krejci wins the faceoff and DeBrus scores. Yeah. And then 35 bleeping seconds later, they let up the tying goal. And they never had the lead the rest of the night. So, yeah, it was an incredibly frustrating game. All I know is I'm glad Ryan Matlack isn't around. Oh, he would be insufferable.
Well, if the Leafs win, maybe we'll get him on the show.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm begging you not to.
Maybe we will. He'll be saying, go Leafs, go the whole time.
Oh, and by the way, Ryan Matlack, for those that remember, was the engineer of this show and the program director here for several years. And he now works at ESPN nationally down in Bristol. And
He's moved on big time, and you're stuck with me now.
Yes, but, so that's yes, but you're not a Maple Leafs fan, so
yeah,
I'm very happy to be stuck with you, as Huey Lewis would say. But the point being that if he were around here, man, he might have been the biggest Leafs fan I've ever seen, and there are hundreds of thousands of them around the world.
Well, he left a parting gift for us on our button bar.
So he that's an FCC fine.
Yeah, so he left that on our button bar.
And played it often, by the way. You just brought back a lot of memories.
I just saw this game as a lot of close calls throughout on both sides. Yep. It started out, I took a list down of all the close calls. Marchand had the turnover in the first period, has a 1-on-0 chance with Anderson and misses it high. Gets it off the shoulder, I think. The Hyman goal that was overturned because of goalie interference, that was a Maple Leaf goal that at the time would have given them the 2-1 lead. By the way, I thought very, very close to offsides on that goal, so I'm happy that they overturned it for goalie interference, because if it had stood, I would have really been wondering about offsides. Rick and Riley Nash both had close chances in the second period. Corrali and Backes had a play in the third period. There was a power play with 4.5 minutes to go where the Bruins got multiple chances, and they just couldn't do it.
You know, we heard all year long from the hockey fans, the Bruin fans, talk hockey. Here we are, three games apiece. We get more text on the Tom Fair Tire text line if you flew first class.
About Jersey Shore
than the Bruin fans. If we don't get every Bruin fan to tell us what's going to happen in Game 7, we're taking the rest of the day off.
Well, is it okay if they do that tomorrow, too?
What'd you say?
Can they do that tomorrow, too?
No, right now.
It has to happen right now. Every Bruins fan.
Well, because it's going to take some time. But otherwise, we should take the day off. This is it. This is what it's all about. You're up 3-1. You're about to blow this lead. There's a chance to go to the Stanley Cup and make a run through the playoffs. This is the best team in a long time. And I can't hear from Bruin fans. All they did was rip us about not talking hockey during the regular season. That's all we heard from them. Well, so, Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. Well,
you do have a few.
Yes, we have a few, but more on Jersey Shore.
No, Trevor in St. Albans sent you three novels on the...
Yeah, but that was all one big one, though. Yes.
Thank you, Trevor.
Yes, thank you, Trevor.
But, I mean, what can I tell you? That was... I can't even tell you how many times I jumped out of my seat last night, absolutely positive they were about to score that tying goal. I mean, how many chances can you have standing point blank 15 feet in front of the goaltender?
Well, Tuukka made a couple of saves.
I mean, I'm talking about the Bruins.
Yeah, but
here.
Matthews had one point blank.
Yeah,
sure. Tuukka hit his shoulder.
Sure, but they won the game. Yeah. I mean, my point being, I mean, how many times? There must have been about seven of them just standing right in the slot and had Anderson dead to rights, and they either shot it right into his pads or into his shoulder or wide. Well, it was just that kind of frustrating game last night.
Anderson is known as a streaky goaltender, and he has certainly been that in this series. I mean, he's got a .949 save percentage in the last two games after having an .880 save percentage through the first four. So he has caught fire and played very, very well. Also, the thing I noticed is we talk about special teams having been a big part of the first two games, especially in this series. Well, the Bruins took more penalty minutes yesterday than Toronto did. Neither one of them were particularly high, but Toronto wasn't hurting themselves like they did early in the series. And also, the shot totals had drastically favored the Bruins early in the series. Yesterday, they outshot them shots on goal, but it was only by three. So that Bruins offensive onslaught just hasn't been there like it was early.
Right. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, what can you say about the first line? I mean, after game two, what did they have, 20 points in the first? 20 points in the wins, is that right?
They have 23 points in the three wins and zero in the three losses.
I mean, what else do you need to know?
Kevin and Shay Z said Anderson's playing too well, just out of his mind. Ultimately, I do believe the first line of the Bruins will put it all together tomorrow. Yeah. That's what you're hoping for.
I absolutely love the fact that that game is in Boston. That crowd is going to be pulling the roof off at TD Garden tomorrow. You know they will be, because it's... Guess what, boys and girls? It's now or never. I mean, let's get it done.
And then, of course, you have a text like this. If you recall, I told you not to underestimate the Leafs. Well, that's from my wife, who now all the Leaf fans come out of the woodworks, but they weren't anywhere when they were down 3-1.
It's funny. I've never heard her ever say the words Toronto Maple Leafs in my life.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There you go.
Rich, you've been saying all along about the Celtics, well, we'll take what we can get. We'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
What do you feel like is proper for the – what would satisfy you as a Bruins fan? Because you came into this season with no expectations.
Right.
You came into this season the first month of the season saying, oh, here they are just putting along.
Right.
And then they caught fire. So are you thinking it's cup or bust, cup or it's a failure? Are you like, you know what, from what I started out with this team, if they get out of the first round and that's it, whatever.
Well, what happened is they did just the opposite of the Celtics. The Celtics started like a house of fire after the Hayward injury and started getting our hopes up. And then all the injuries and so forth have sort of dashed it. The Bruins did just the opposite. I mean, you were right. Just hope for eighth place. Let's get in the playoffs. That'd be a big deal. Make the playoffs and see what happens. See if you can get out of the first round. But then they started rolling, like you said, like a freight train over the last, you know, through the calendar year 2018 for the most part. And once the new year turned over, they were playing out of their minds, and so the expectations went up. I would be incredibly disappointed if they had 115 points or whatever, missed finishing with the best record in the East by 1 point, and then bow out, especially at home, in an all-or-nothing Game 7 to Toronto.
Tristan and Williston, who I like, is making fun of me, Arnie.
He says, you can tell Brady doesn't follow much hockey. He called a breakaway a 1-on-0.
So. What? Number one, I consider a breakaway when you go through a large portion of open ice. That was a turnover in the offensive end. I don't consider that to be much of a breakaway. And you could call it a 1-on-0, just like you could call it a 2-on-1. You could call it a 2-on-1 or an odd man rush. I know the hockey terminology. I don't think 1-on-0 is out of bounds in that.
We had an update guy, I won't mention this, Tom Looney, who said that's a 4-run home run. So, yeah.
Would you consider that a breakaway, considering it was coming, the turnover happened in the Bruins' offensive zone? Do you consider that a breakaway?
If he is going in alone on a goalie, is a breakaway.
It's a breakaway. I consider everything a breakaway since my son's a goalie, though. So
I don't think that's a breakaway. The turnover is in the offensive zone, in the Bruins' offensive zone.
Trevor and St. Albans, after what they've shown they could do, it's conference finals or bust to me, but still in my mind, they're still ahead of schedule with that finish. And, of course, my wife, again, for the record, I'm not a Leafs fan. Matthews is remarkable, and the Leafs are hungry, that's all.
You didn't use her voice.
And but Brady says you never use a 1-on-0. I didn't hear that, so did you say it?
I did say it. Okay, your wife says you never say 1-on-0.
Oh, okay, I see.
Trevor in St. Albans, he knows a lot about hockey. He texts in about hockey every single day. If you tell me, number one, did you think that was actually a breakaway? And two, is it acceptable to use 1-on-0? Because I think it is in that situation. I could call it odd man rush, 2-on-1. I like 2-on-1 and 1-on-0.
Right.
I think it's okay.
Odd man rushes are, you can call a breakaway, are a 1-on-0. Everything else, you have to say it's funny because if you have a 2-on-0, you can't call that a breakaway. It's a 2-on-0 because you have to explain the specifics of the breakaway in different terms.
I still call it a 1-on-0.
Look at Rich with his play-by-play. I love it.
It's the only hockey I'll ever do play-by-play on.
I love it. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next? We're off and running.
Coming up next, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and we're getting a lot of feedback on it on social media. Are Patriot fans tired of Gronk?
All right. Oh, wow. We'll get to that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Just real quick, I haven't been to L.A. in about 2 years, but when I went back to L.A. and I was telling people I live in Vermont, they go, oh, do you live on a farm? You live in a it's not all farm area.
Right.
You know,
do you live with Ben and Jerry?
Yeah, oh, Ben and Jerry. I love their stuff. Love their ice cream. And I, can you tell me anything else about Vermont?
Maple syrup.
Let's be from Vermont. Let's have an emerging maple syrup conglomerate.
Yeah. They have no idea.
And you can add Bernie to the list. He's gotten real famous nationally.
Bernie Sanders, right? You got that also. So
wasn't Howard Dean Vermont? No, he was New Hampshire.
No, yeah,
oh, he was definitely Vermont.
Oh, that's right.
Really?
I knew that.
Come on.
All I remember when I think about Howard Dean is
you'll either get Ben and Jerry.
I don't know why I thought New Hampshire for a second.
Yeah,
there.
Or Bernie.
What was it like here after that happened?
Yeah, I mean,
you can make fun of me all you want, but
I went from thinking, is this guy really going to be the nominee for the president of the United States? Because I was working in news at the time. We were interviewing him constantly, and I just remember thinking, is this really going to happen? Mm. And I thought it was cool at the time, but you kind of got the feeling things were fizzling out a little bit. And I think everybody in the news business around here really wasn't that upset that it was fading,
yeah,
because that's all we covered for like 2.5 years, yeah, I think it was.
But that's what people in L.A. think of Vermont. They're like, Ben and Jerry.
Yeah. Is that part of Boston, Bernie, is one thing I hear,
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
You is get that in also. Boston?
Is that in Boston?
What
part of Boston is that?
What school did you go to, if any?
First-time texter, Babe Ruth is dead and gone, and baseball's better than ever. The Patriots won the Super Bowl the year before last year without Gronk, but lost it with him. Their offense around who they have to, they must have trade Gronk. I didn't read that right, but that's pretty much what they
so
want.
So what
to
did
say.
You just say, that he thinks
trade
they
Gronk.
Should trade him?
Yes, trade Gronk. That's what they're saying. First-time texter, Vermont is that part of Canada. I get that,
yeah,
a lot also.
Yeah.
You'll get a bunch of that one. So, Brady, what is going on with Gronk? What's going on there?
Well, we were talking about it yesterday a little bit, Monday Mirages, and it's worth bringing up again today. Should the Patriots – not even should they trade Gronk. Are Patriot fans tired of Gronk? And the reason why is Gronk was at Gillette Stadium this weekend for the Supercross race, Monster,
yeah,
Energy. He was there as part of a sponsorship.
Well, that's important. That's important.
He was there as part of a sponsorship.
It is to his wallet.
He was there as part of a sponsorship agreement. And rather than be at voluntary workouts, he was kind of mocking the process. Here's some of the things he had to say.
You know, they've heard that you weren't at the optional workouts last week. And they'll wonder,
for this dirt biking,
do you plan on attending the optional workouts that are upcoming?
No. Well, I've got dirt biking skills to work on.
So he says he's got dirt biking skills to work on, and then he throws in this.
I've been riding dirt bikes. I've been training really hard. I can vroom, vroom really good. I can ride that bike like no other, and my speed is up there.
So Gronk talking about dirt biking, mocking the OTAs or mocking the voluntary workouts, and that's where we stand.
You
Are
know,
Patriot
you,
fans tired of him?
You look, I don't think they're tired of him. They just – they're not tired of winning. That's what they're not tired of.
Right.
I think when it comes to Gronk, you know, it's got the phrase, like, Gronk will be Gronk. I don't realize why he has to be like that. You know, you kind of want to maybe keep it a little bit closer to home, especially because your teammates are out there busting their hump. So I don't know why you really have to flaunt it, unless you really want to get Belichick absolutely crazy. Because if that's what's going on, you're doing a damn good job. As Belichick behind closed doors must be losing his marbles listening to Gronk open up. As for trading him, I wouldn't trade him, because why create a problem when you already have enough problems on that team?
Right.
So don't create a hole there. But yeah. I don't like him opening his mouth like that.
Enough problems all the way to another 13-3 season.
Wow. No, so, I just meant some other holes to, you know, to fill in besides besides tight end.
No, I know. Look, as a Pats fan, it's a little – this is the first time, other than that headbutt into – what game was that last year?
Against Buffalo.
That's the first time I've ever said, wow, Gronk, that was really nasty. You know, I just always thought of him – dancing drunk on the tables or whatever, just being Gronk, having a good time, doing all the crazy stuff. I never had a problem with it.
Like the Monster Energy drink.
But that crossed a line to me. That sort of went into a no-no area for me, because he was openly flaunting the fact that he was at Gillette Stadium and making a point to say, I'm at Gillette Stadium, and no, this has nothing to do with the Patriots. I'm going to vroom, vroom, and I'm going to do something else. And he's doing it right in the face of everybody in that organization.
Yeah, But that's not the question. I'm with you, but that's not the question.
But it's where he goes over the line, no, in my opinion, as to whether Gronk's fun anymore.
Are Patriot fans tired of
no,
Gronk? Or do Patriot – look, if I'm Belichick, I'm with you. If I'm Belichick, if I'm his teammates, I'd be anywhere between mildly irritated and rip-roaring mad. I'd mm-hmm. be in any degree of that spectrum, I would be upset. But are Patriot fans looking at it and saying, it's a voluntary workout, I don't care what he – what's the difference if he's – doing that, or what's the difference if he's on a beach somewhere, or what's the difference
right.
if he's anywhere else?
If Gronk doesn't even want to practice during the year, I wouldn't give a damn
right.
if I'm a Patriot fan. LeBron doesn't practice anymore. I mean, that's the special treatment you get for guys up in that age. I don't want you practicing if it's going to go ahead and take some, take a little bit out of your body. Save it for the game.
Well, I thought what he did with the motocross thing was over the line. But that being said, and this may come across as a little hypocritical, but I think I speak for a lot of people who love the Patriots. If he goes out there, makes 75 catches, 12 touchdowns next year, and leads his team to victory after victory, then he can do whatever the hell he wants to do.
Well, Matt on our Facebook page says, Gronk's act is fun and enjoyable when he's still doing things, quote, the Patriot way. But the minute he decided to basically make a mockery of everyone who's at OTAs, he lost me. They can't trade him because they need him, But I'm over Gronk the person right now.
Absolutely. I haven't moved on from him at all because he's extremely useful to that team winning games. But I, like I just said, I think that was over the line for the first time.
And then also, remember this. When you say I picture Gronk, you know, chugging beers at the Super Bowl parade and I think of him dancing drunk on tables, is that fine for 23-year-old Gronk? But this is two-time captain now, Gronk. This is a guy in a leadership position on the team. Doesn't he owe it to the organization or at least to his teammates a little more to at least put on a proper face here publicly? I think that's where I get upset with Gronk. It's one thing when you're just, quote, Manny being Manny. But when you become two-time team captain, I think you have an obligation to act a little more responsibly.
You're going
to
hate this. He goes out, plays 16 games next year, makes 18 catches and no touchdowns, and keeps acting like that. Then I have a problem with it.
Clayton says, sick of Gronk's stupidity off the field, but I love him on the field. I think that's what everybody's going to say. Nate says, I'm not upset. I'm worried because a Belichick doesn't typically put up with antics like this. In the past, Gronkowski always said the right thing, the Patriots' way. So, well, you know, he's certainly going to a different side of that one. And Glenn Monckton says he wasn't mocking OTAs. He just did a Belichick keeping it to motocross. So there you go on that. He reminds me of Christopher Walken, the actor. You mocking me? Are you mocking me?
Well, I thought you were going to say more cowbell.
Oh, that's just classic more cowbell. What do you mean? We got to take it. We didn't get to the Jay Feely thing.
We got about 2.5 minutes.
Well, go. Get to Jay Feely. Tell everybody the picture he posted of his daughter's prom, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, so former NFL kicker Jay Feely posted a picture on Twitter or Instagram, one of the two. He's with his daughter and her boyfriend at her high school prom. Yep. And he's got his daughter in one arm and the boyfriend in the other, but he's got an unloaded gun next to the boyfriend.
And in his hand, yeah.
It's in his hand. It's not pointed at him, but nonetheless, people are all over him. He had to issue an apology. And this is, I think it's going to come down to one of two sides. One, he's either completely inappropriate for having a gun at a kid or having a gun near a kid. Or two, the PC police is out and it's nothing that no father of any daughter has ever told any of us.
Oh, boy.
Is there any father in the history of the universe
that hasn't thought that?
That hasn't thought that way
or
and
said
therefore
that.
I have to side with him. Obviously, it's it's not loaded. I will give him a little bit of crap about the fact that he wasn't thinking about what time it
is exactly.
In time.
Yeah, exactly.
It was probably not appropriate in that sense. And he had to. He's got to think a little clearer as to how that's going to come across in this day and age. But that being said, especially as an old guy, I mean, who didn't ever want to post a picture like that as a father of your kid, of your daughter going, keep in mind, these two have been dating for a long time and that the gun was unloaded. That kind of stuff matters a little.
It does. I just want to tell you, I am just horrified. Did you see? I can't even repeat this one, but did you see the other prom date?
Yes. Yeah.
Where they were asking out to the prom with the sign?
Yeah.
I'm talking about. Yeah. And I can't repeat it. That's just
stupidity. See, the Jay Feely thing is just every guy in America.
Well, I mean, if that's stupidity, well, what's a guy with a gun then, Rich? A guy with a sign being a racist a kid with a sign being a racist is one thing. What's a grown man with a gun?
I understand. Yeah. And I tell you, I took a lot of time thinking about this one. Yeah. Not as a 57-year-old father of a daughter. I was thinking of it more as an older guy and what this would have meant to anyone our age. I think most of the people our age found it hilarious.
I think most people either found it hilarious or were not offended by it, though I can certainly see where the younger millennium or even young kids, high school kids, were offended by the whole thing.
Well, that's the thing that was weird to me was that, while I didn't find it offensive, I found it hilarious. At the same time, there was a part of me that said, oh, boy, he's got to think ahead a little bit in
exactly,
this day and age.
Exactly. Like that kid who asked out. I was just, Brady, I was telling Rich, we can't even tell you the other prom proposal. Do you know what we're talking about?
No. I was just taking a lengthy phone call.
Yeah, I know that. There was another kid who proposed to the prom, held up a sign, and it was just so offensive. I mean, I can't even begin to describe it to you. That's how offensive it was. So
I'd hate to dismiss such stupidity, but it's a kid being a kid, not thinking. Jay Feely's not a kid.
No, he's not a kid.
You do have to go to break.
Yeah.
I found it completely inappropriate. I get it. We've all, I think any of us who are guys have had a father say to us, you know, treat my daughter well or else, ha ha ha.
Right.
And I think I would have been okay with the joke in certain variations that didn't include a gun. I once, you know, like if there was a moose head on the wall or something and he pointed at it and said, better be nice to my daughter or that's going to be you, I think I would have laughed.
Right.
But the fact that there was actually
the gun,
the weapon there, I think, guns and knives, I'm not going to give you a, if he had a bow and arrow, I think I might have even felt better about
would
it.
Would have made a difference
that.
If the gun was in his waistband or in a holster than if in his hand?
That's a good question. I would say subconsciously yes, but I think I would feel guilty about thinking that. Off the top of my head, I think it probably would make a difference, but I don't think that would make it any actually better.
I thought it was funny, but I also thought that he needs to know that that's going to get him in some trouble.
Right.
I think he should have stuck with the moose or the deer head on the wall and said, you'll be up there next.
Just like the one we have in the mail room.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
It's very bizarre.
That freaks me out every time.
Yeah.
All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Tom Karen of Nesson.
TC next, right here at 101.3 ESPN.
Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon routine, people of planet Earth. We appreciate you. The Huddle is back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the Huddle, ready at 101.3 ESPN. Guys, right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, he's our Bruin and Red Sox insider from Nesson. It's Tom Karen. How you doing, TC?
Good, guys. How we doing?
But first of all, your son's playing the Burger Bar on Thursday.
Wow.
With his band. What kind of music, what would you describe him as if you were going to compare him to another band? What would they be? The Beatles, what exactly?
Do you know Twiddle?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're a jam band. You know, the long, great tradition of Vermont jam bands continues.
Heard Twiddle on Dan Patrick's show.
Yeah, they were on last Friday.
Yeah.
I've gotten to know the guys in Twiddle. They're great guys. Got to hang backstage with them this winter at a show down here in Boston, and they're great guys. So, Funhouse featuring Jack Karen on vocals and lead guitar.
Wow!
This Thursday at the Burger Bar. If you guys don't trash it tonight, doing trivia.
So how long did you have to battle him about the length of his hair? And now, of course, it's perfect because he's a rock star.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Well, that's the thing, you know, and that's a total backlash. Like he went to 4 years of private Catholic school where he had his short hair and coat and tie. You know, he hasn't cut his hair since high school, and he's a junior now in college.
Wow!
So. If there were going to be some real fights if he didn't find a way to make it appropriate for what he's doing. But if you're the lead singer of a jam band, you got to have long hair, I guess.
Where does he get the vocals from? Is that from you? Are you also a singer there, Tom?
God, no. Are you kidding me? No, he's talented. He's an artist. He's a graphic designer. He can sing, and none of it's from me.
So
all of it's from his mother.
You didn't play any instruments or anything like that growing up, huh?
The bongos and the kazoo. Does that count?
No. The triangles. Not against
you know,
anybody.
The pick of the barrel, right? You got that Fenway with the white bucket upside down. That was me.
TC, let's go to the Red Sox. They open up a series in Toronto tonight. Alex Cora in his first bit of, quote, hot water as manager. Let's start with this. What did you make of him, A, leaving David Price out for the eighth inning in general, and B, specifically to pitch to Chris Davis on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I was okay with the pitching decision. I really was. He had gotten Jed Lowry out, has become like the toughest out in baseball all of a sudden. And you know, 95 pitches. He'd been seven innings or more twice prior to that. That was the third time. So I had no problem. Steve Lyons thought he should have come out right after Lowry. But I was okay with him facing Chris Davis. He hung a slider. It's a bad pitch. I was a little more concerned about not pinch hitting Mookie Betts or Hanley Ramirez or Eduardo Rodriguez, especially in the I think it was the seventh inning when they had been on second and third and one out and the bottom of the order coming up. I thought the decision to leave those guys on the bench was a bigger deal than the decision to leave David Price in the game.
Meanwhile, the team that leads the American League in hitting by 20 points or whatever it is gets no hit in Oakland on Saturday.
Yeah.
What was your take on that? And the Benintendi play, I might add.
Yeah, well, I mean, we spent the better part of the weekend arguing over the
right.
Benintendi play on TV.
Yes.
Steve Lyons and I did not see eye to eye on that. I thought it was a base hit. And that wasn't to take anything away from Sean Manaea, who was dominant. But I think 9 out of 10 times, if not 9.5 out of 10 times, that's scored a base hit, and the guy's safe. And I think Benintendi had a good beat when he said, you know, if there were 10 hits in the game, they would call that a hit. So you can't change that because it's a no-hitter. But you can say he went out of line. I get it. It's a debatable call. Stunning, though, that they were no-hit. I think that, you know, what can happen here, what we've seen the last two games for the first time, is this new aggressive approach that we all love and that we've been talking about can work against them from time to time. And you really saw it, you know, the ninth inning, you got Manaea trying to nail down a no-hitter. He's nervous. If you watch him during the third inning, Benintendi in the ninth inning when he walked him, he actually missed a throwback from the catcher, just clean missed it, and you know, he was nervous. So you come out in the ninth inning, you're trying to break up the no-hitter, you're hoping the nerves will work against him, and I believe each of the first two hitters swung at the first pitch. So two pitches, two outs. You know, you're playing into his hand. So I do think that cat-and-mouse game, the game of adjustments we were talking about in baseball, at the Red Sox, you're going to have to be able to temper back their aggressiveness at the plate from time to time when it works against them. I thought on Sunday you saw a lot of change-ups early in the count, you know, pitches that you can't really do a lot with. And I think, you know, as pitchers realize that they're swinging more early in the count, that they're going to see tougher pitches early in the count. So that's going to be the adjustments we watch.
TC, they'll take on the Blue Jays tonight. This Jays team is overachieving from what a lot of people thought going into the season. How are the Jays doing this?
Well, mostly offensive, although yeah, tonight's started Jay Happ's good. But they've been hitting the ball pretty well, which is a little bit of a surprise. They've been able, you know, they split the four with the Yankees, and before that were really rolling in. I think they'd won four in a row prior to that, so... it's a good lineup. I mean, we knew it'd be a good lineup. But the Red Sox pitching, and with Porcello starting tonight, he's off to such a great start that, these are the games you got to take care of. You got to go in. I'm not worried about them just because they haven't scored much in the last couple of games. But the Blue Jays, you know, they're definitely better than I thought they would be. I thought if anybody gave anybody trouble, Baltimore would be the team. And they've been awful. So it shows what I know.
All right, Tom Caron joining us on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. How about a little hockey, my friend? There's going to be a game seven. Oh, my goodness, man. When they were up 3-1, I never thought we'd be seeing a game seven.
No, and you know, I was talking a lot about a Jekyll and Hyde goaltender. I was talking about Freddie Anderson. Well, Tuukka Rask has been the Jekyll and Hyde goaltender. That first one was one he would have liked to get back last night. And, the worry here is his history in elimination games. I thought I saw somewhere he's like 5-12 all time in elimination games with a high goals against average. And so he's a real polarizing figure here in Boston and New England with hockey fans and sports fans. There are people who absolutely love him and think he's a championship pedigree. There are others who really don't believe the Bruins can win a championship with Tuukka Rask in net. I think he's a very good goalie, but when he doesn't play well, it seems to be at the worst possible time. You know, we talk about a timely save here and there, and he's going to need to do that. On the other end, and I know, you know, it's simplistic to just talk about the goalies, but here's the stat to watch. Freddie Anderson, for them, they have won, the Maple Leafs have won, every game in which his save percentage is 98% or better, 900 or better. And so he's had three games where it's been below 900 and they've lost, three games above and they've won. So when he plays well, the Maple Leafs are a really hard team to beat. And we'll see what he does, you know, at the Garden tomorrow night, because that's why, you know, that's home ice advantage. You're supposed to maybe rattle the other team. We'll see if it does.
We've talked a little bit about it, TC, earlier in the show. If they lose that game tomorrow, the Bruins, has this been a bad season, a good season? What grade would you give it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think if they lose tomorrow night, I think it's been a good season. I really do. I mean, I think they were ahead of schedule with all these young guys, and I'm not going to let a bad three-game stretch completely wipe that away. I mean, I would, you know, when you look at the Red Sox now, you talk about two straight years of underachieving in the first round, right? But after 2016, we didn't really talk about that. You know, it was disappointing that they got swept by Cleveland in the first round. But if you go back to that fall, right, we felt pretty good about that team. All the young guys were getting playoff experience. They had a good season, finished first, and we thought they were going to build on it. Now they didn't. So after 2 years, you say, okay, now there's a problem. But I think these Bruins would be right where we had those Red Sox in 2016. I think it's a young team. I think the McAvoys and the Grizzlicks and the Heinens and all these young guys, the Brusk, you can go on and on, they're getting really important playoff experience. Even if they lose, I would hope that will make them better playoff performers in the future. I think it was a good season. I don't think you can take away what happens, but it's an epic collapse if they lose tomorrow night.
TC, people were making fun of me earlier, so I'm going to ask you, since you've done hockey play-by-play before in the Bean Pot, I guess I have two questions for you. One, on the play yesterday in the first period where the Maple Leafs turn it over in their defensive zone and Marchand gets the puck and shoots and misses, would you call that a breakaway? I say no, considering it started in the Bruins' offensive zone. Would you call that a breakaway or not?
That's a tough one because I, you know, thinking back to when I was watching it in real time, I thought of it as a breakaway. I did. But I get what you're saying. Can you break away from it? But it was really a turnover, right?
Yes.
And it really was a turnover in the defensive zone. So upon further review, I'm going to say no, it was not a breakaway.
Good. So that's one for me. Here's the other one.
Yeah.
Can you call anything in hockey, like that play, since I didn't call it a breakaway, I called it a one-on-zero, and people went all over me.
Yes.
Can that be an acceptable term?
No.
No. So it went one for two.
That is so horrifically wrong against anything you got on the breakaway one. So okay. You lose that one-to-one.
50%.
Yeah, take the 50% on that.
You can't have a one-on-one. You know, it's funny. Jerry Cheever is a Hall of Fame
goalie.
Back in the 70s. He used to tell me all the time, he'd get really upset when people would say three-on-two. He's like, what, the goalie's not a human being? You know, how come they never count the goalie? It's right. Three-on-three. There's a goalie back
five
there.
Five-on-five.
I always laugh about that, but I guess, you know, yeah, I guess we don't count the goalie.
I love it. Well, TC, man, we're looking forward to seeing your son up here. He's going to be rocking it at the Burger Bar on Thursday.
Yeah, again, Funhouse. If you're in the area, get out there and make sure they don't spend more on beer than they make playing in the at the bar, right?
You know, Don't worry, all his groupies will buy him all the alcohol.
Sure. All his groupies. That's all he needs. They'll go to his head. Yeah, the great thing is these jam bands, and they're one of them. Yeah, I don't know how long they play. They play like 2 hours. It's like three songs. You know what I mean? they play one song and take a break because it's been an hour and 20 minutes. You know, so.
A Grateful Dead show.
I love
it. Yeah, exactly.
All right, TC, have a great week. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Tom Karen joining us on the TikTok tour.
He's not wrong.
Oh, I love it.
I've been to a lot of shows that went to 2.5 hours. It's like, the song's still going.
All right. We'll come back. Gone but not forgotten as we finish off hour number one right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. A family's love is forever. Feel free to contact them 24/7. Elmwood Meunier even has affordable options for your pets. We start off with Mini-Me, who just died yesterday.
Oh, that guy?
Mini-Me from the Austin Power films.
Yeah.
Vern Troyer, 49 years old. I don't get into the whole Austin Powers thing.
That's pretty funny.
Is it?
Really?
I just never got into it, though.
It's funny.
I know who he is, obviously, but... Yeah, passed away 49 years old.
He had a miserable life. He really did.
What was so miserable?
He was very unhappy,
very depressed.
He had all kinds of emotional issues.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
So he's passed away at 49 years old.
Mine is your dog's hair.
My dog's hair.
Gone but not forgotten, and I understand he's copping a toot about being bald.
I think he's embarrassed by his haircut. He had really long hair like Cousin Ed.
Now, like dog father, like dog son.
Wow.
No hair for each of you.
Now he's like, looks like a poodle, and my other dog wants to play, and he just growls at the other dog now, like he wants to.
He doesn't appreciate being follically challenged.
I don't know. He's like in a bad mood for having his hair cut. I don't know. Can you be moody for getting your hair cut? I have no idea.
Haircuts are the thing that makes me the happiest.
Yeah,
cosmetically, I love getting.
He was
a
like
haircut.
Cousin It. We haven't cut it in like 6 months or something like
like
that.
Like Tom Karen's kid.
Yeah, exactly. We have to get a cut.
Gone but not forgotten. I've got two of them. Number one is Arnie. You're going to L.A. for 2 weeks.
Oh,
so we're gonna miss you. You're gone but not forgotten. Number one.
Miss you already.
And gone but not forgotten. Number two, Mike Francesa's retirement. So the arguably the most famous sports radio guy of all time out of WFAN in New York, retired in, what was it at this point?
Like January.
Yeah. January, I think after the football season even? Nah, maybe a little before.
He left in December and they got a new crew in January.
Left in December. He retired. He had the year-long farewell tour, the 30 for 30 on Mike and the Mad Dog, and now 3 months later he's back. So he's going back to WFAN. Arnie, have you ever retired and then come back?
No, I have not. But
he's the Brett Favre of the radio business.
Doesn't somebody have to be fired over hiring a trio that sucked so bad that you had to bring back Mike Francesa? Somebody, shouldn't an executive have to be fired for making that decision?
He's
seriously.
The who of radio. Or Fleetwood Mac. He's the Fleetwood Mac of retirements.
I know. I hate when people do that.
Hey, it's another reunion tour. Give us twice as much money for a ticket.
I just can't believe they're bringing him back after 3 months. What's it going to say for the other three that have a 2-year contract?
That's radio.
They're not getting fired. They're going to like split hours with them in the midday show.
Yeah. People aren't happy with you in that market. Guess what happens to you?
3 months, though.
Bye-bye.
3 months to go ahead and get a show going.
That's what's great about here. You can suck and it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, how long have you been here?
I don't agree with that. Wow.
Wow.
Well, look, I'm still here after 38 years.
That's what I said. Thanks to Elmwood Beignet Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington. A family's love is forever. Feel free to contact them 24/7. Elmwood Beignet, even has affordable options for your pets. Hour one of the books, Brady's going to have a sports center update. We'll get you ready for hour two right here on 101.3. Yeah.
Everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, 5 o'clock hour. So much to get to, Brady. What are we doing this hour?
What are we doing this hour? We're going to talk about sports.
So much to do, but so I can't tell you what it is. Brady, what are we doing?
Well, because I didn't have the sheet in front of me. I can't remember. But I know we had a lot to do this hour.
We're going to talk about the Celtics momentarily. We'll get into the Patriots. We'll also get into the Yankees and just how good Didi Gregorius is. And we'll talk about if Bruce Cassidy is being out-coached right now by Mike Babcock.
All right, but trivia tonight. Remember, the Burger Bar, 7:30 to 9:30, half-price appetizers, drink specials. We'll have the game on. You'll be able to see the Red Sox game. More important, you'll be able to see the Celtic game. That is a big, big game. Winner of Game 5, I think, wins.
82% of the time.
Wow.
Did you just know that off the top of your head?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I researched it.
It's awesome to be young and filled with brain cells.
It's also directly in front of you.
Brady, where are you going to be tomorrow? You and Rich, because I'm taking the day off.
We're going to be out at the UPS store, 4 Carmichael Street in Essex, locally owned and operated, to get you all your shipping and packaging needs taken care of. They'll do that free shredding for you of documents under 5 pounds. And they're doing that raffle for that Bacon Farms kind of breakfast basket.
Yeah.
And I'm going to L.A., so I'm going to go for 2 weeks. I'm still doing the show out there.
So we're going to UPS, and you're going to L.A.X.
I'm going to L.A.
Slight difference.
I'm going to play a little basketball out there, go see Mom a little
hang
bit.
Hang out at Muscle Beach
Venice. Muscle Beach, exactly.
Because you'll fit right in.
I will totally fit right in. I like to walk around without my shirt and just soak up the rays out there and just have a good old time. So I'm going to be take pictures. I'm going to put them back on
just
my
don't take any
Facebook
selfies.
Page.
We played basketball last night.
Yes, we did. Even the people here don't like Brady.
Yeah, I heard it was a little testy.
Brady almost got into a fist fight.
With your own fellow employee?
Who'd you hear that from?
Well, I saw Stevie Beats almost hit you with his elbow.
Multiple times.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of a fight, isn't
it? He's got kind of a short fuse, doesn't
he? If I walk up to you and say I'm going to elbow you in the face and elbow you in the face and knock your teeth out, that's kind of starting to fight.
And the idea is for you to elbow him and knock his teeth out first.
What I was amazed by, and this is true, Arnie... Everybody else was exhausted. Arnie wanted to keep playing.
Yeah.
Arnie was in better shape than everybody else we were playing.
It's crazy.
It's because he
nuts.
Doesn't move, does he?
No, he moved yesterday. Uh-huh. He also took a couple guys on. We played against each other. He took a couple guys on my team off the dribble to the hoop even.
Well, do you not think I could play? I just don't do that in the Williston game because people hit the crap out of me. I can't take it anymore. So I just shoot from outside. I have such a great three-point shot. Why should I drive to the bucket?
Why should you do anything but stand still?
Exactly.
What's really crazy is that my team, we played 5 games. My team won 4. Arnie's team won 1.
Yeah, 3-1.
No, it was
4-1.
To one?
Yeah. Okay, I thought it was 3-1.
So my team won 4, Arnie's team won 1, but they did win the last one.
Yes, and that's all that counted.
I have to say this. Arnie is the reason why.
Yeah. What?
I'm a great shooter, Rich. What How do you not do? Know that?
I've seen you play once, and that was enough.
He hit like four or five threes in that game.
I don't get to shoot like this because in the Wilson Central School, nobody gives me the ball. So they freeze me out of that, Rich. But when I play three on three, I'm shooting every time.
I got to admit, for an old fat guy, you do play pretty well. You get around better than I'd expect.
It is. That's why I want to play at Muscle Beach. I'm going to go out there.
Your speedo.
It's really a thong speedo. So
the women will be falling all over you like they do at RJ's.
It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. Brady, we already have a bunch of people with the mistake of the day, do we not?
Yeah, people trying to qualify for that mistake of the day. We make a mistake, you let us know on the Town Fair Tire text line. And if you do win the mistake of the day for the week, then you get that brand new 101.3 ESPN baseball cap thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
Pick it up on that. We've not, ever since we started that, you guys have not picked up on a lot of mistakes. But before then, you ripped us on every little mistake we've made.
Well, maybe we just aren't making any.
Well, that could be
possible.
Although
a selfie and a speedo would be a huge mistake.
All right. Celtics box. Here we go, my friends.
Yes.
Here we go. All tied at two. Not game six tonight, game five.
Game five.
Yeah,
game five.
Game five tonight. It's a must win. Obviously for the Celtics, you can't go back to game six, though. You never know if you win that one. But that's certainly the hard way of doing things. I don't think they have to do much different than they did in game number four. I understand game three, look, it happens. And you might as well take that tape or whatever and just throw it in the garbage. You don't have to watch that. Game four, they were right there. They have to continue just playing their game. I don't think you really have to alter a whole heck of a lot. They're better than Milwaukee. I just think they have to do a better job keeping Milwaukee off the offensive board.
Well, the one thing about basketball is that the home team wins a lot more often. I mean, the game seven, I'm glad that the Maple Leafs Bruins game is in Boston tomorrow. That's a little bit of an advantage, but I can see Toronto winning regardless of where that is. But in the NBA, it seems like there's a home court advantage more than any other sport.
Yeah, going into yesterday, it was 20-20 in the NHL in the playoffs as far as home versus away.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean, the Columbus-Washington series started 0-4.
Yeah, right. And then good for Ovechkin and company to win yesterday, by the way.
That was fantastic.
But anyway, but the point being that I'm glad they're home tonight and that they raised the roof. The Garden has just become nuts. It was a quiet place for the first 10, 15 years of its existence, but it isn't quiet anymore for either the Bruins or the Celtics, and I'm expecting the crowd to be crazy. I'll tell you what's got to happen tonight is Terry Rozier has to figure out how to get back on track. This is a guy, all we were talking about was how great he was. 23 points a game for the two wins. He goes out to Milwaukee, shoots 26%, averaging 9 points a game. And when you lose a game by 2 points, you've got a guy scoring 23 and then nine, there's a big difference.
I think there's multiple keys to the game. I do think Rozier's productivity is right near the top of the list. Again, as you said, he scored 9 and 10 in those two games in Milwaukee. That can't happen. Jabari Parker on the other side is a guy who was non-existent for Milwaukee when the games were in Boston, and he went out and scored 16 and 17 in Milwaukee. What are they going to get from him? Because if he's able to score, then that's a big boost to Milwaukee's offense. I think the three-point line continues to be a huge part of this series because the Bucks are shooting. I mean, get this. The Bucks are shooting 54% in this series. That would be the highest field goal percentage ever against the Celtics. Just against the Celtics. Okay. It would be the highest ever in a seven-game series against the Celtics. They're shooting 54%. What they don't do well is shoot the three-pointer. So they make a lot of shots, but they're not high-value shots. So early on in Boston, they made a bunch of shots and shot a high percentage, but they didn't hit threes. In Milwaukee, they hit threes. That's the separator. If they hit threes tonight, then they're right in this game. If they don't, then the Celtics blow them out.
They got to push it up a little bit more also, the Celtics. You got to keep pushing it up. Push it up against this team. Because like you said, they're not going to hit threes to get back in. So you got to get the easy transition, the easy bucket. And I don't think they're doing enough of that. You know, what was it, 104, 102 up in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay on the road, they're scoring 102, but they could do a hell of a lot better at home.
Yeah, and I mentioned Rozier. The other guy who's got it's not as glaring because he's doing okay in Milwaukee is Al Horford. I mean, he's not playing well at both ends of the floor. At least he didn't in those last two games. They've got to get him more involved. And the other big key today, and we have no idea at this point, is the possibility that Marcus Smart comes back, and I know I ride him all the time because he can't hit the side of a barn offensively, but he brings so much to this team. I don't know if you've noticed during the regular season, but when Marcus Smart plays, the Celtics win almost all the time. He's a difference maker, especially at the defensive end of the floor.
All right, Top Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. Boy, I mean, this is the time of year for the Boston fans. Oof. You got the Bruins facing game number 7. Where are the Celtic fans? You're 2 games apiece. You're not in dire straits or anything like that. You still have home court advantage in this one, but a little bit nervous time. I wonder what the line is. I bet you Celtics probably like a 6.5, 7-point favorite.
It's unbelievable. Like we were just saying in the NBA, what a difference the home court advantage makes. And, I mean, look at this series.
Not this year, though. I guess, 20-20?
No, no, no. That 20-20 was the NHL.
Oh, NHL.
No,
okay.
I don't have the NBA in front of me, but I guarantee you it's a little bit of a different story. I mean, this series alone is 4-0. And if you look at most of the series, that's been the case, other than New Orleans going to Portland and beating the Blazers 2 straight. Other than that, there hasn't been a lot of that. I mean, Golden State did win 1 in San Antonio, but not a whole lot else. I think the Washington-Toronto series is 4-0 for the home team heading back to Toronto.
By the way, I was off on that. Boston opened up as a 3-point favorite, now up to 4.
Yeah.
So, and usually you get about 3 to 4 for home court. So they're saying this is a dead even game. And it's been a pretty good series. I mean, it's a battle right now, so it is close to being dead even.
And Middleton and Antetokounmpo, you're going to give them their 60 points, as you were alluding to in our second, you know, point that you were making, is that who else is going to come off and be that third guy that they're going to need?
Parker, Bledsoe, Brogdon, right? Those guys are going to have to play well. For the Celtics, I do think Smart is going to play tonight, and that's pretty much out there. Brad Stevens said he's been cleared to play. It's just if he feels okay, then he's going to go. And I can't imagine for a guy who's been chomping at the bit to get out there that he's not going to want to be out there. On a side note about Marcus Smart, I read just an unbelievable story about him recently. It was in The Athletic, and his mom was recently diagnosed with cancer back in February or so. And it was about the bond of him and his mom and about how she's battling cancer and about how, you know, how kind of torn up he is about that. He lost a half-brother to cancer earlier in his life, and it was all about just the struggles in his life that he has overcome, and here's another struggle that he has to deal with. You know, this was fascinating. We kind of knew at Oklahoma State that Marcus Smart was a bit of a hothead.
Yep.
And you didn't quite know where that stemmed from. This went back deep into his childhood from all the things that he had to overcome and just the tough life that he has lived, and some of the situations he put himself in.
Right, like attacking the fan when he was at Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
that didn't help.
Yeah, he said he used to throw rocks at pedestrians like a sport for himself. You know, he was just a troubled youth, and he used to throw rocks at pedestrians. I don't know why you would do that, and he doesn't know why he did it, but he used to do it. And he hit a member of the Bloods gang, and they chased him down in gunfire at him at 14. They tried to kill him. And it was just a fascinating, you know, it was a tragic story in a lot of ways. In other ways, it was a story of perseverance and making amends in your life and getting better. But it was just a fascinating, detailed look at Marcus Smart. Because he's a guy who's so quiet, we don't hear a lot about him.
No, you don't. You don't. Wow, I did not know about that, about him. Because I do kind of come from a place like that also, Rich.
You do.
I know you say that sarcastically.
No, you do.
I come from the Bronx, New
that's
York.
The Bronx, all I need is those 5 letters to know that's a tough spot.
And guess what? I was white, so I was a minority in the Bronx, New York. And it was a kind of a tough upbringing. Yeah. It was a little bit tough out there. Nobody had any money, but you didn't know you were poor, to be honest.
Right.
That was your surrounding out there. Andrew in Colchester said, Rich just said Golden State was 1-1 in San Antonio. It was the other way around. San Antonio won 1 game.
Oh.
Andrew
oh,
in
fine.
Colchester. There you go.
I got to talk to you, Andrew. Come on,
gosh,
man.
I love that.
That's a mistake of the day, Canada.
Yes,
right
there you go. We might have to give that one to Andrew out there. Town for a Tire, text line 802-655-6672. I still expect the Celtics to win game 5 and then probably take it in 6. Maybe catch Bucks and not being flat-footed, but a little bit upset that they lost game 5.
So you think that the Celtics are going to win tonight and then go to Milwaukee
and
win
in game 6.
So
there
goes your Celtics in 7.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1 game short on that one, though. It's looking like 7, really. But
I'd be surprised if that happens. I hope you're right.
Why, you doubt it's going to be in 6 or 7?
I've said 7 from the beginning, and that's how I think. I think it's going to go home, home, home all the way through.
So I saw someone put on Twitter that if the Celtics win tonight, Giannis will be able to get any restaurant he wants in Boston.
Yeah, Giannis not getting served at the Mexican restaurant. up in Milwaukee. So I didn't know they had a lot of Mexican restaurants in Milwaukee.
The old cantina or something it was.
There's no new cantina. That's for damn sure. So we'll see what happens to that one. Like I said, Town Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. Otherwise, the other series have been good, too. At least I'm enjoying the Philadelphia series. The Oklahoma City series is pretty much done. Utah up 3-1.
Wow. You watched that game last night?
Boy, Colin just ripping. Colin Carr just ripping Russell Westbrook.
There's a shock.
Colin, yeah. I love Colin. I think he's the best in the business, but he needs to get off the Westbrook hate.
Yep. Oh, he does. He just totally hates Westbrook.
Well, he hates Westbrook and he hates Carmelo, so it's great to have his two favorite punching bags on the same team and both of them struggling at the moment. Look, Russell Westbrook has some deficiencies in his game. I'm not going to deny that, but a guy that plays in an era where we criticize people for resting, you get on a guy who plays 82 games. In a time where we say that guys take plays off, this is a guy who plays 100 miles an hour on every play. There's a difference between saying that he's the best player in the league and acknowledging that he's a star in the league. And he is a star.
Also, the Washington-Toronto series. Have you guys been checking that one out or what?
Well, that's another one of those, as you said, Brady. You know, the fun doesn't start till somebody loses at home, until a road team wins. And that hasn't happened yet.
Did you see what was the record that was broken by the two well, that was the Pelicans. Two guys combined for 80.
Oh, Anthony Davis and Holiday?
Yeah. was a record broken by the Boston Celtics of JoJo White and John Havlicek.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Something goes back that far. Of all the great duos you have in the NBA, it took these two clowns to break the Havlicek duo thing.
And real quickly, so it has nothing to do with basketball, but did you see the Brandon Belt 21-pitch at bat?
Yes. That was great. I'm just amazed that
By the way, that at bat cost $133 with all the balls that were lost in that one. I want you to know. Oh, I'm serious. That's what it was.
The guy for the Angels, it's just amazing you could throw that many strikes. Right. I mean, he was throwing multiple different pitches there. Good for him, and he got the out.
Yeah, exactly. And then the next time Belt comes up, he hits it over everything.
No, but it was a 9-pitch at bat the next time, I believe.
I'm not sure, but I know he hit a home run. But, oh, can you imagine sitting through a 21-pitch at bat?
That is awesome. Well,
breaking Marcus Smart will play.
Oh, good.
That's
good.
Big. That's very important.
That is big. We'll see what happens there. Brady, what's coming up on the Champlain Valley game night, short night tonight, summer hours?
We'll talk to Jessamyn McIntyre of ESPN in Seattle. Also covers Washington State football. The Patriots are linked to Washington State's quarterback, Luke Falk, maybe. We'll talk to her about him.
All right. What's coming up next?
Coming up next, Patriot fans, when are you just going to admit it?
what does that mean? That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. You ever been to the Hollywood Grill? No, no, not the Hollywood Grill, the Sunset Grill.
No, it's from a great Don Henley song.
That's what it's named from. There's an actual Sunset Grill.
Is there a real place? It's a great song.
It is. There's an actual grill, the Sunset Grill. And there is, you know how they say in the song, they talk about the guy behind the counter and all that.
Yeah, and the working people.
Yeah, that's a real guy.
Stumble in.
Great burgers. Great burgers out at the Sunset Grill in Los Angeles.
You,
you still need to go to Fat Sal's Deli.
Fat Sal's, where is that? I've not been to Fat Sal's.
That is in Hollywood. That's the guy who played Turtle from Entourage, Jerry Ferrara. That's his place. Those are unbelievable sandwiches.
Mistake of the day, I don't remember which day, but hiring Arnie was certainly a mistake of the day. Just kidding, or am I?
That's nice.
Yeah, Richard.
Let me guess who that's from.
I was first-time texter.
So
Yeah. Just a first-time anonymous texter.
I assumed it was our buddy Vince.
Yeah, no.
Who has texted something and I can't see it.
No,
so.
I think he just
said that Arnie made a mistake. Brady will work after 6 p.m. So did you say I only work until 6?
Oh, I said summertime hours. Did I say 6 o'clock?
Well, you're still
close
wrong.
Enough. All right, Brady, what do we got coming here?
Well, you know, so yesterday we talked with Bob Soucy, who's the broadcaster, play-by-play.
A lot of fun. That was a blast.
Of the Patriots. Yeah, it was a blast. We asked him what he thinks of the drama in New England this offseason. This is what he said. Let's get to that right now.
I think it's disconcerting, to put it mildly. And, you know, I know that there's always drama surrounding the Patriot, naturally in this day and age, especially in this marketplace, sometimes the drama is manufactured. I think in this case, there's reason to be a bit concerned about the situation.
So he says it's disconcerting, and there's reason to be concerned right now about the situation. My question for Patriot fans is this. When are you going to step outside of the In Bill We Trust mantra, and when are you going to step outside of the Kiss the Rings feeling, right, and just admit that things are not perfect?
Okay. Since I'm the Patriots fan in the room and the only one, I am going to step outside of that when they start a season 2-4 or 3-3 instead of starting out the season like they always do. I'm just here for the ride, and all this other crap, throwing this stuff against the wall and see what sticks, it just doesn't. It doesn't affect me.
It's like entertainment. It's like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever they are. All that's for the show. You know what I mean?
I'm not trying to be that obnoxious, condescending Patriots fan. All I care about is the bottom line. And you can say that Gronk doesn't like this person, and are you concerned about Brady, and what are they going to do in the draft, and blah, blah, blah. All I care about is that they go out and go 12-4 and just enjoy this while we have it. One thing I will say is that I do understand that this isn't going to last much longer.
I think there's a difference, though. This can be on both sides, and I feel like people think it's only one way. I am tired of hearing Patriot fans say, oh, ESPN is out to get the Patriots. And, oh, ESPN, there's another clickbait story. And there's Schefter trying to draw up controversy.
Right.
That's an employee who calls the game for the team telling you that there's a problem. So Patriot fans who only want to pin this on ESPN or any other entity that has a, quote, agenda against them, that's somebody who works for the team, is employed by the team, and calls games for the team, telling you that there's a problem.
But do you agree? You won't agree, so I won't praise it that way. But until they stop going 12-4 or 13-3, isn't all of this crap okay?
I don't think that they're mutually exclusive. There can be issues without having those issues derail the team. There can be issues that need to be worked through that don't necessarily correlate to, the team's going 2-14 this season, everything's off the rails. Yes, this team can figure out all of their issues, and they can go 14-2 and win the Super Bowl. Or these issues can derail the team, and they can go 10-6 and get bounced in the first round. There can be issues that need to be worked through while still having success.
And you say you don't care about the draft, but you really do. Because if the Patriots somehow, and I'm not saying they're going to do this, but if they use their two picks and traded up and took a quarterback, let's say, with the second or
third
pick.
That would be interesting to me, absolutely.
Interesting. If they took a quarterback, you'd be saying, okay, here's the heir apparent to Tom Brady, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
Is he good enough? How good is he? Where did they take him? Which quarterback was it? Why was it him? When is he going to take over? How many more years does he have left? Is Belichick going to groom him, or are Belichick and Brady leaving together? It opened up. I just gave you 10 off the top of my head, right, Rich, if they did that.
I understand. Yeah. And look, once they made that move to get the 23rd pick, things got a little more interesting.
Right.
So, yeah. I absolutely thought it got interesting, but to me, it's just bottom line, man. And I almost long for the days of that Rams victory. That was by far my most gratifying Super Bowl win because it came out of nowhere, and the whole country didn't hate them back then.
By the way, Town Fair Tire text line, or if you want to call, 802-655-6672. Who do we have on the line, Brady?
Trevor in Milton.
Trevor in Milton. You're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Trevor?
Hey, so I was just kind of listening about the clickbait stuff, and one of the ones that was definitely clickbaity but came from a Patriots person was when Amendola was quoted of saying, a naughty word about Belichick. That came across more like a compliment that ESPN was desperately trying to make be something out of nothing. Like, what he said is, you're going to be called names by people if you work them hard. That was a compliment. That wasn't him poo-pooing on Belichick. I just think a lot of what that is people taking what people say and taking it out of context.
You know, and I appreciate the quote, because I took it that way. He said Belichick can be a blank, or did I misunderstand that?
He said that he is one.
Okay, so yeah. I mean,
so you take that as a compliment, or you take
No, I take it as a bad thing. He's saying he took it as a compliment.
He's saying it really is a compliment. ESPN has an agenda against the Patriots, so as a bad thing.
Because I'm like, he called him a blank. I wasn't sure where he was going.
But is that a surprise to anyone he drives his players nuts? He drives me nuts, and that's just the press conferences from far away.
Right.
But I don't care because he wins.
What I think is interesting is that I think Patriot fans need to come to the realization that everything is not perfect. And that's all I want from them. I don't want them to say things aren't perfect and we're going 1-15 and finishing last. I don't want both of those things. I want Patriot fans to come to the realization that things are not perfect. When Nate Solder leaves and talks about it not being a great situation. When Danny Amendola leaves and talks about what the culture is like and it being hard to play in. When Deion Lewis willingly leaves and says, I want to be appreciated.
And Gronk texts out, be free. And
when
all that.
Gronk says, be free and be happy. When Gronk and Brady don't show up at offseason workouts. When Tom versus Time ends with Giselle saying he wants to be happy and appreciated. Acknowledge that things aren't perfect.
But you agree that if they go 5-11 every year, none of this matters and none of this exists.
You know what? You know what's crazy about that? All the complaining that they're doing, and the one thing they should be complaining about that I haven't heard anybody say anything, is the money they make. Because I would love to see the average of what each person makes, and if they make a little bit less on the Patriots compared to other. Would that be fascinating or what? To see if the Patriots pay, you know, per quarterback. Tom Brady's going to get less than the average. Right. That's a guarantee, right? You know what I mean?
But going back to what Trevor was saying about the clickbait, the Patriots are absolutely, they're the kings of clickbait. I mean, everywhere you go. And this is what's so amazing to me as a lifelong fan and sitting through all those 5-11 debacles year after year after year is the fact that the folks at ESPN sit down there nationally and say, I want you to talk about the Patriots. I want the word Patriots. It's like Tim Tebow. It's this fabricated, crazy thing about somebody who's, granted, he makes a difference as a human being, but it was never going to happen for him in the NFL. But people want to hear that name. So I want you to say the word Patriots 25 times on the show.
Look, I don't think that ESPN, I'm protective of it maybe more than others. We are an affiliate, but we don't work for ESPN. We don't have to agree with everything ESPN does. My brother works there. I've worked at ESPN affiliates in my whole radio career. Maybe I'm a little more protective of it, but I still don't think they have an agenda. But even if they did, isn't this what we see in all of society, that the people at the top are always being clickbaited?
Yes.
I mean, isn't this what goes on with the president? No matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, or no matter who the president is, aren't we always getting some racy, juicy detail about the president, about the royal family, about the queen, about the Yankees, about Jeter, about A-Rod? Isn't this always happening everywhere?
Absolutely. And I mean, you look at reality TV, you look at all the, look at the news, all of it's death, drugs, and destruction. If it bleeds, it leads. It's all the stuff that gets you ratings, because ratings get you revenue. And that's the way media has been forever, as long as I've been in it.
Adam in South Burlington, I think ESPN and embellishes the story, but where there's smoke, there's usually fire. That said, until they stop making the playoffs, I don't really care what's going on internally.
But that's what you're talking about, Brady. That's the stuff that you don't like, is everybody just dismisses all of this. Well, so what? They're going to go 12-4. And until they start out some season 2-5, I can't buy into
it. Well, Milo agrees with you. It says, I'm with Rich. Who cares? Nobody was in love with Bill Parcells until after he quit either. So, Parcells wasn't the easiest guy to get along with. There's no doubt about that.
No, but I mean, look, you look at an Aaron Hernandez situation. I was amazed how little backlash against the Patriots was.
You're right about that. When you have a murderer on your team.
Yes.
Could you imagine if he was on the Giants or the Jets or the Eagles or something like that?
I don't know. I was amazed as a Pats fan that they didn't take more crap for the Hernandez situation. Of course, they handled it as best they could once it came out. He was gone immediately.
Well, also, because he committed suicide, nobody wants to really, the case closed
But other than him, really, it's just been a bunch of guys that you find you dislike. But I think you dislike them because they always win. And that sets you up to be disliked in this country nowadays.
That is absolutely why. And remember the Yankees. Now, take aside your – no, you're a Red Sox fan, so there's the rivalry. But I was not a Red Sox fan, and I hated the Yankees too. And I think Bernie Williams especially was wholly likable, as was Tino Martinez, as was Derek Jeter. And you hated all of them just because they won and they were the reason your team wasn't winning.
Right. And that's what it is now too. I mean, are the Yankees hateable? Not really.
First-time texter, NBA home teams are 22-10 so far in the postseason. Did we get that one wrong?
That's helpful.
That sounds a little bit better, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I thought it was even better than that.
John in St. Albans, I'm a Dolphin fan. I want them to hate each other and go 13-3. The Dolphins go 13-3?
Oh, the Dolphins?
Yes, he's saying he would like to have the Patriots' problems. Hate each other, but go 13-3.
Oh, I get you now. Okay.
I understand it. The whole thing about ESPN is get people to watch and listen. That's what media is. Buy more copies of our paper. Buy this. Buy that. It's all about talking about the things that cause an emotion in people. And more than any other sports team, I would say right now, the New England Patriots are that name. If you go out and talk about the L.A. Chargers, no one's going to listen. Your ratings are going to drop, and you won't get any revenue through advertising.
Yeah, but why now? Why the pushback now? Tom Brady has not missed OTA since 08. Maybe it's their age. Maybe Giselle is fed up enough. Gronk's not married, so
right,
anyway, it's his problem.
But people like Gronk and Giselle drive the train. That's what ESPN thrives on, are the people... Tom Brady married Giselle Bundchen? Perfect. There's more ammunition for us to talk about the Patriots. There's just lots of layers of stuff with the Patriots. And, oh, yeah, they win a lot, too, which drives it.
Yeah, that drives people crazy is what it drives it out there. Tom Fairtire, text line, if you want to comment on that, 802-655-6672. Do you want to get to the Bruins real quick?
Yeah, real quick. Rich, especially for you, I'll kind of defer this at you because we only have a couple of minutes until the break. What did you make of the Bruins' coaching decisions last night? Because I've seen some people say that Mike Babcock is now out-coaching Bruce Cassidy, and it kind of stems from, one, before Game 3, Babcock putting Tomas Plekanec into that second line. That's one of them.
Yeah.
And then last night, Cassidy countering by benching Danton Heinen and then changing around the lines. He's got Rick Nash on the third line. What did you make of the line construction for the Bees last night?
I feel like the Nash thing, although there's plenty of interest in it last night, they did a good job, but I just feel like they've got to utilize Rick Nash more. This is a guy, I understand he's done nothing for 3 years. I shouldn't say nothing, but this is a former 40-goal scorer on a bad Columbus team in the early years. But the thing that I couldn't understand, and I still don't understand, is why is Ryan Donato playing in this series?
Why is he not playing?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, why is, of all people, Ryan Donato, he comes up, he immediately scores 4 or 5 goals, and I understand that they're scoring. They got 3 the other night on 42 shots, but last night they could not put the puck in the net. And the thing about Ryan Donato to me, and Danton Heinen, who you mentioned, especially earlier in the season, those are guys that have a nose for the net. You could tell immediately that Ryan Donato had a nose for the puck. He knew where it was going to be. He had a great shot. He scored some beautiful goals in his first few games.
What's
and now he's just
him?
An afterthought. He's not even dressed.
No, because he's not. Is he on the playoff roster?
He is.
Okay,
do you want Tommy Wingles in there? I understand he plays a much better checking game. He plays better defense. But right now the Bruins need to figure out a way to get that puck past Anderson.
Rick in Essex, ESPN does have an agenda. Make money. Just like any other business.
Absolutely.
It's okay, but they...
Definitely.
But they do it. They definitely go after the Patriots looking to exploit any negative situation. What else did he write there?
Because Patriot fans eat it up.
Yeah, not Patriot fans eat that stuff up. So, yeah, he's right about that. Yeah. Whenever it comes on, they love it, whether it's Patriot fans or non-Patriot fans. Yeah.
It does get old, but I never – you know what? I'm going to look back as a 10-year-old who's watching Jim Plunkett get sacked 14 times in a game and say – who saw this coming? This is a good thing.
You know, Trevor Milton says you don't have to read this on the air, but I'm going to read it anyway. I'm going to read it anyway. Just wanted to say how amazingly cool this text line is and how interactive it allows the fans to be. So amazing job, guys. That's Trevor Milton. Yeah,
not
we
bad
loved
considering
it.
You can't even read half of them.
Once we got it, I can never go back without the text line. We used to have to answer calls. Brady would stop talking and answer the calls, and the calls would hang up, and if we didn't get the calls right away.
People think we have 17 employees here. The employees of this radio station in their entirety are sitting right now in this room.
If we have interns, we have them too, but we don't have any interns today.
Right. So the text line was the best thing we got out thanks to the Town Fair Tire and the Town Fair Tire.
Who thought of that, by the way?
I did. Army. I did. I got it.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Sorry I asked.
And it was one of those things where I was like, all right,
Arnie. You didn't want that.
I didn't want it at first, but I've been proven wrong.
You know what's so funny is we had it in Dallas, and our boss took it away from us. Because in Dallas, when you got millions of people, you could imagine the text line is like a slot machine. And a lot of them had negative things to say about us. So you'd spend the whole show. I mean, you'd listen back to the show, and you'd say, what did you say? But you were reading the text coming in and you weren't paying attention.
Right. That's what I thought Arnie would do, but it has not gone that way.
And it's a lot softer. The criticism is easier to take with me being so thin-skinned. I don't want to punch the people that are talking to me, talking me down. If they do it on a text line, it just seems less hurtful.
Yeah, but not all that, though, but it gives a way for everybody to get a hold of us. But, we took it. The boss took it right out. I was like, you guys, all you do is read the text line.
All right, Arnie, good job.
All right, so there you go. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, how much fun is Didi Gregorius?
All right, we'll get to that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
Swung on and drilled to deep right. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Didi Gregorius drills one to right center. And it's a grand slam. Yes, indeedy.
Oh, come on. You're going to give me a yes, indeedy. Whatever. Come on.
In fact, Didi Gregorius.
I know that. But
euphorious.
I needed that part.
Do you think sometimes he forgets the line and he has to, so he just keeps talking through until it hits him?
It's I like possible. That. Whenever you could rhyme with Gregorius, I got to hear that. You know, I got to hear that again. So, yeah, I just love when he does that. I know it's corny, but
funny. I heard somebody on local. What was it? Was it radio TV? I'm trying to remember. I was driving home, and somebody wanted to use the word gregarious about somebody. They said Gregorius. You're comparing your kid to Didi.
How fun is Didi?
Oh, yeah.
No one in this room is a Yankee fan, but Didi Gregorius, to me, is easily the most likable Yankee. And I said this, we were doing the show at the Natural Provisions a couple weeks ago.
And look who we replaced. How tough is that?
Yeah. And I think the Yankee team has become unlikable again, just not because of the personalities, but just because they have the expectations again. So last year they were kind of lovable underdogs. This year they're fully loaded and expecting to try to compete for the World Series. So I think they're, from a team standpoint, unlikable again. But Didi, you can't not like this guy. He's got good personality. He does everything well. He's getting better and better every year. I had somebody say on Facebook they think he's going to be better than Jeter at some point.
Is it possible?
They think he's that good.
He's the most underrated guy in baseball? I mean, because he doesn't get the big, you know, he doesn't even get the, he's not even the top two name guy on his own team.
And how is that possible when you're batting between Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton in a Yankee batting lineup?
I just think those guys, I bet you he's probably the fourth or fifth guy on his own team right now. I would say if you look at overall.
I thought you were telling me fourth or fifth guy gets the pub in the league. I'm like, not even close there.
If you're talking about somebody who, you're talking about from a popularity standpoint, name recognition.
Or people just wearing your jersey in the stands. I don't think I see a lot of those compared to Stanton and Judge.
Judge,
that's for damn sure.
Judge, Stanton, Tanaka because of the Japanese influence, and Chapman. Despite Chapman's kind of off-field issues, he's still a much bigger name at this point than Didi, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes from a line. I mean, you mentioned Bernie Williams, and as much, even in the years we absolutely hated the Yankees, I remember growing up in the Thurman Munson years and, you know, and all the fights that they have every time they played with Fisk and all those guys. But Chris Chambliss was always in the middle, or a guy going back, like Roy White. I mean, the guys wouldn't say two words. It was impossible to hate those guys, and yet it's like, wait a minute, they're on the Yankees, you have to hate them. And I think Didi falls into that category.
No, that's why the Yankees-Red Sox series is going to be so much, just so great this year with the talent on both.
And let's face it, the pinstripes are on their way. Man, are they pounding the ball right now, and they're getting pitching, too.
Well, Stanton's starting to turn it around. He had four hits the other night or something like that.
Did you see that home run he hit last night? Oh, my gosh, I think it's still going.
And Didi with the grand slam, that's his second career grand slam. You know, Aaron Boone pointed this out afterwards, and it's really true. When you talk about what helps make Didi so special at this point in his career, is he just keeps ascending. And at some point, you're going to plateau, and then at some point, you're going to regress. But Didi right now just keeps getting better and better, and there's two things that really stand out. One, he's hitting lefties as well as he hits righties. He is not a liability against southpaws, and a lot of lefties have a hard time hitting lefties. Well, Didi hit .264 against lefties last year, really held his own. This year, in a small sample, is hitting .333 against lefties. So he is hitting both sets of pitchers, both righties and lefties. He's hitting them both for power and for average. That is a really hard and rare combination.
And it's funny because you look at what he's doing right now, and to think this is only his fourth year with the Yankees.
Yeah.
It just seems like he's been a guy that's been around for a while. And he showed no sign whatsoever, first with Cincinnati and then 2 years with Arizona, that he was ever going to be anything offensively.
No, you thought he was going to be a light-hitting defensive player, and he's proven to be a good defender, and he's proven to be a power hitter who's also now striking out less and walking more. He's already got 15 walks this season. He already only had 25 all of last season.
And 8 strikeouts and 71 at-bats.
Wow.
Yeah, he's become an MVP candidate for the first 10th of the season or whatever we're through.
Now, obviously, if you come to the Burger Bar, we got the Red Sox game, we got the Celtics game, but tonight, night, the Jeter-Brian Gumbel interview. And there's a little bit of controversy in that, right? What did Jeter exactly say about the Gumbel?
Jeter's going to be on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel on HBO. And you should watch it. I'm excited to watch it. Bottom line is, basically,
he called him.
Gumbel calls out Jeter and says he's delusional
for the tanking
if he thinks that his team right now is going to contend. And Jeter basically says, I expect them to compete, not contend. And he also says that you're mentally weak.
Yes.
He calls Gumbel mentally weak if you think that the right answer is to tell your players they're not going to contend.
He took a shot at Gumbel. There's no doubt in my mind.
I think they both took a side shot at each other. I don't think it's going to be all that volatile.
How are you going to contend when you trade half your team away?
You think that Jeter was out of line for saying that? I think he was a little bit out of line. He could have showed a little bit more respect than that.
A little bit out of line, but I think that Jeter's point, I understand it. Brian Gumbel says, do you expect this Marlins team to contend? And Jeter says, I expect them to compete. And there is a difference.
There is a difference.
You can try.
He's putting it that way.
It's more of a night-to-night thing.
You can try hard without winning. And I think that's what Jeter's saying. I expect them to try hard. Because every night that we get there to the park, we have a chance to win a game. And so I expect us to compete to try to win. And Gumbel says, yeah, but do you really think you're going to? And he goes, well, you're delusional if you think that we're going there to lose. So I think it's some fireworks around some pretty basic stuff.
All right. Do we want to get to the mistake of the day? How about Andrew and Colchester?
Yeah, Andrew Colchester.
Andrew and Colchester. Well,
calling me out.
Calling you out. You made a mistake, called you out, and we gave it to Andrew and Colchester, Brady, so he qualifies for the mistake of the day.
Mistake of the day. Winner at the end of the week can get that baseball cap thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's. Uniforms, vehicle lettering, screen printing, embroidery. Get it right the first time.
All right. We'll come back. Last story standing as we wrap up a Tuesday right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, last story standing. I saw this yesterday. We never had a chance to get to this. Of course, The Wizard of Oz, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yes.
Love The Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
Well, I guess the ruby slippers that Dorothy wore, Judy Garland, wore in the movie, going up for sale for $6 million. The seller says it's like having, what did he say?
It's the holy grail of
ruby slippers.
Like movie paraphernalia.
It's like having, the Tycott baseball card or something like that?
Yeah, it's movie memorabilia.
Who owns it? Do we know who owns the ruby slippers? Is it just some
guy
that took it off the lot or something like that? One of the munchkins?
Probably so. No, I don't think there's any munchkins left. Everybody in that movie is dead.
You're right about that. I don't think there are too many people left.
No, I don't think there's a single one left.
Wow.
Isn't that depressing?
That is, but the ruby slipper is selling for $6 million.
Wow.
I think I would have sold those a long time ago if they were.
I think they'd be a tough fit with a house falling on them.
Yeah.
Might kind of make them a little squished.
All right, guys. I'm
still never seen it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. What is wrong with you? You're fired.
You do have
some
sort of brain deficiency.
You have a problem.
How can that possibly be?
I don't know. Was it that good a movie?
It's iconic.
Yeah, it might be iconic.
And
it's
weird.
It's good.
It's scary and spooky. Oh, I remember being creeped out by that movie.
So what is my motivation for watching that then?
Iconic. And everybody's seen it.
Plus, if you start Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd right at the opening credits, it all will make sense to you. The whole album goes with the flow of the movie exactly.
I didn't know that.
It's really weird.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Wow. No, yeah, that I definitely didn't know.
All right. Well, there you go.
Now you're going to watch it.
Probably not. So.
All right. I'm off to LA. Have a good show tomorrow at the UPS store. Brady, tell everybody where they could find you and Rich at the UPS store tomorrow.
UPS store, 4 Carmichael Street in Essex. Come on, hang out with us. It's your one-stop shop for small businesses, locally owned and operated. And rumor has it they're bringing food out again.
Nice. Come out to the Burger Bar. We'll have the Red Sox game on, and we'll have the Milwaukee Celtics game on, of course, game number 5, and, of course, with trivia. So come to the Burger Bar. We'll start trivia at about 7:30. Guys, I will see you on Thursday. Have a great remote. All right?
Have fun.
I will.
We'll talk to you on Thursday.
We'll talk to me on Thursday.
I'm not going
to
see you for a while.
Well, I thought we were going to Facebook each other.
FaceTime each other.
That too.
Yes.
Facebook each other, FaceTime each other.
Snap face.
Brady
whatever.
Next with Champaign Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN.